friends. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. I'm so thrilled that you've chosen to be with us today. Be sure to visit our website, faithalone.org, to learn more about us and take advantage of our many resources. We'll talk more about that at the end of today's program. What changes happen when one becomes a believer in Christ, and how fast do these changes take place? Is it more instantaneously radical, or does it take some time? What should I expect? Those questions and more make up the heart of today's discussion, which will cover 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, today we're talking about a question of how much change should you expect should happen in your life when you become born again? Is it that absolutely everything changes in your life? Do you become a Christian genius 6 seconds after you're born again? Do you become completely spiritually mature 10 seconds after you're born again? Do you become free from all of your sinful habits and inclinations and thought patterns immediately upon faith in Christ? Some people think 2 Corinthians 5:17 teaches just that. Here is what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How do people take that verse?
The way it's often understood, Sean, is that if a person comes to faith in Christ, when it says old things have passed away, they say that's all your sinful patterns, your sinful habits, your sinful thoughts, so that the alcoholic no longer has a desire to drink, so that the immoral person no longer has a desire to sleep around with other people. So the jealous person is no longer jealous at all. The envious person is not envious at all. The angry person suddenly has no more outbursts of anger, no more road rage. Suddenly, these people are radically transformed. That's the way this is normally understood.
And so they kind of use that as a test of salvation.
They do. They will say, if you are not living a new creation lifestyle, then you aren't born again.
Is that the right interpretation of this verse?
It's absolutely wrong. For one thing, if that were true, then that would be true at the very moment you were born again, right? At the very moment you were born again, old things have gone. There would be no growth in the Christian life. You would instantly be mature. But what does Paul say in the first letter to the Corinthians? In chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, "For you are still carnal." This is 4 or 5 years after he had led them to faith in Christ. They're still baby Christians. "For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Well, envy, strife, and divisions are not the fruit of the Spirit. And yet these people were born again. He calls them babes in Christ in verse 1, and Christo, and yet 4 or 5 years after their new birth, they still struggle with carnality. And he says, you're behaving like mere men. He means like natural men, like the unsaved men in Corinth.
Right. I mean, the Corinthians were pretty much the picture, the great example of a dysfunctional church, of a church in total rebellion against God. But in some ways, though, they believed in Jesus and they were exercising the gifts of the Spirit. They were abusing those gifts. They were celebrating the Lord's Supper together. They were functioning as a church, but they were messed up. They had a lot of things wrong with them.
Right. But yet Paul calls them babes in Christ.
And so if you get completely changed at the moment of faith, that should have been true of the Corinthians.
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't true. So that should give us the first clue that this verse should not be used to say that at the moment you believe in Jesus, everything, you know, all of your sinful habits change. If that was true, that would have been true of the Corinthians, and it wasn't true of the Corinthians.
Well, there's a second clue, and that is the Greek does not read what you read. You said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Greek says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation.
So
there's no subject and no verb,
so
just
the
new creation.
The he is, that's something the translators have introduced.
Yes, the translators have put that in. In fact, the New Geneva Study Bible, which is a Calvinist Reformed Study Bible, it says that the phrase translated, that he is a new creation, should be translated, there is a new creation. Not that the believer is a new creation, but the believer is part of a new creation. He's part of a new world. People are always talking about this new world order and how some politicians are seeking to establish a one world government, a new world order, and transnationalism and no border, right? All these things. Well, the truth is, Jesus is going to bring all that in one day. He is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But until then, we're not going to see that, except, spiritually speaking, we are part of a new world order. If you look at the verses which precede verse 17, where verse 16, he no longer looks at people in the flesh, but he sees them as either born again or not born again, and verses 18 through 20, where we're now reconcilers and we're seeking to reconcile people to God and we're ambassadors for Christ. The whole point of the context is, whether we recognize it or not, the moment we come to faith in Christ, our world has changed. Instantly, it changed. Now, instead of being made up of a whole bunch of humans, now it's made up of two kinds of people. And now the issue is not male or female, or Jew or Gentile, or slave or free. The issue is born again or not born again. Those who are born again are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're fellow citizens of heaven. But those who are not are people who we long for them to come to faith in Christ. And whether the new believer instantly recognizes this or not, we should teach them that you're part of a new creation.
So really, this is what you might call an identity truth. This isn't a truth about your progress in spiritual maturity. That's not what this verse is about. This is about you recognizing that God has given you a new position and a new identity.
Yes, it is all about identity. You know, we talk about identity politics. Well, this is identity within the Christian life. Yes, we are born of God people. We are people who have the life of God within us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. That can and should have a tremendous impact on how we live. But it starts with how we see ourselves. If we see ourselves as defeated, unable to serve God, that's going to have an impact on our behavior. But if we see ourselves as part of a new world in which we have the Spirit of God, we have the power of God, we have the resurrection power of Christ within us, we're now able to live like ambassadors for Christ. And one of the things that's interesting, Paul doesn't say that we should be ambassadors for Christ. He says we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, we may or may not be doing a good job of it, but the truth is we're all ambassadors for Christ. I was speaking in a church years ago, and a man in the Bible study said something to the effect, he quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, "I'm just so thrilled that the moment I came to faith, everything changed in my life. Suddenly, all my desires were gone, my bad desires and everything else. And I instantly was serving God and was faithful." And this one man in the Bible study said, "You know, that really ticks me off." And the other guy goes, "What?" And he says, "I'm a recovering alcoholic. I haven't had a drink in years." And he said, "There's not a day that goes by that I don't long to drink." And he said, "It'd be nice if at the moment of faith, suddenly all my desire for alcohol went away, but it didn't." And he said, "I have to conquer that every day." And what you're talking about is a bunch of malarkey. He said, whatever problems we had before we came to faith come with us into the faith, and now we need to grow. And I think the guy was absolutely right. What Paul's talking about here is we're part of a new creation, a creation that's ultimately going to the new heaven and new earth.
One of the things that the New Testament teaches us is one of the reasons why we shouldn't live the way unbelievers live is because our citizenship is somewhere else. Our citizenship is in heaven. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. We have this heavenly citizenship means that we walk as sojourners on this earth. We're just kind of visiting this earth, you might say. And we're here to accomplish a job. And Paul talks about what our job is in this chapter. Bob, you mentioned before that Paul calls us ambassadors. And let me just read those verses here. It's in verse 20 and 21 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he says this, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Part of our new identity in Christ is not only that we're part of this new creation, but that we are ambassadors for Him.
Oh, that's absolutely great. It seems to me that if we recognize who we are in Christ, then we recognize we have an obligation to tell other people. Remember when there was great famine in Israel because they were surrounded by a foreign army? everybody was reduced to cannibalism even. It was horrible. And then some lepers went out to surrender, and they found that the tents were all gone because God had had the army just leave. And so they went into one tent, and they got food, and they ate, and they found gold, they found silver, and they buried that, and then they got some more gold and silver and things. And after about three tents, they said, this isn't right. We need to go back and tell everyone. So they went back and told everyone, and everyone went out, and everyone was blessed. Well, they became ambassadors. Some people have said Christianity is like a beggar who finds the source of bread. And so when we find that source of bread, we go and tell other people about it. And that's what it is to be the new creation. And by the way, notice Paul doesn't say, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation most of the time. We're part of a new creation all the time. There is no he is. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation all the time, whether we recognize it or not. Every day when we get up, we're part of this new creation. And if we get up and we realize that and realize we're an ambassador for Christ, that's going to make us live differently.
There's a dignity that comes to that position. There are expectations that an ambassador has to fulfill because you're not representing yourself. You're representing someone else. If you're an ambassador for Christ, you're representing him. And you should live in a manner worthy of him.
I would say that Christianity is a battle for the mind. Once we're in Christ, we're part of a new creation. We're part of a new world order. And we need to see life differently. If we just go through the motions like we used to before we were born again, we're fools. In order to be wise people, we need to realize Jesus is coming again soon. He's establishing his kingdom. And we want to rule and reign with him forever. We long for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. So recognize you're part of a new creation, and this is a beautiful thing.
Thank you for that wonderful discussion, gentlemen. There is a new creation in Christ. Believers are part of it. We are sojourners on this earth. We are citizens of heaven. We have a new identity. We are ambassadors for Christ. There is a lot for us to accomplish for his kingdom. And friends, I'd like to encourage you to sign up for the free blog at faithalone.org. You can also sign up for a free subscription to our magazine named Grace in Focus at faithalone.org. It is edited in-house, and every edition has great articles, answers to questions you or someone you know may be asking, issues similar to the ones that we discuss on this program. If you'd like a free ebook of the first four chapters of Confident in Christ by Bob Wilkin, just email us at radio@faithalone.org. You will also receive a code allowing you to buy the book at half price. I hope you'll take advantage of these opportunities at faithalone.org. We also would encourage a gift to this ministry at faithalone.org. It would be much appreciated and would go a long way to help support this program. A few days ago, we looked at the meaning of falling from grace from Galatians 5:4. Did you know that Hebrews has a similar statement in chapter 6 where it talks about the danger of falling away? That's our topic for tomorrow. I'm Lucas Kitchen, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.